good to be here as we are just privileged to come together, study God's Word, ponder some of the gems that are found therein to help us. On Sunday, we began looking in the book of Joshua, and we looked at some key points in Joshua. Of course, it is not designed to look at every single point, every single chapter. And so I won't go through all of the points that we made on Sunday, but I will make a few that we did make. And remember, we looked at the land promise that was fulfilled in the book of Joshua. Remember, the land promise was given to Abram in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. And when we consider that promise that God gave to Abram, he told him that it was going to be this land that his people was going to be coming back to. They were going to be dwelling in that land, and they were going to be prosperous in that land. And so it would be during the time of the conquest of Canaan, that this land would be pursued, it would be conquered, it would be possessed, and it will be dwelled in by the people of God. And so we looked at how God made promises, and he kept those promises, and God is a God who still keeps his promises. We gave a breakdown for the book of Joshua. We gave chapter 1 through 5, Israel enters into Canaan. And then chapters 5 through 12, Israel conquers Canaan. And then chapters 13 through 24, Israel possesses Canaan. And so we looked at that from a breakdown perspective and how God's people actually went in there and conquered the land. And so I want us to pick up in chapter 10. God had given Joshua, and I say Joshua because he is the leader. He is the one that succeeded Moses. Remember, Moses was God's leader. He is the great lawgiver. According to Numbers chapter 12, it would be Moses that God would speak to, face to face, and the rest he would speak to through visions and dreams. And so here we have Joshua. What did Moses, Joshua, and the people, what did they do for Joshua? Who remembers? What did they do for Joshua? What did they tell Joshua? Okay.
Stay courageous.
All right. To stay or be courageous. What else? I heard it. What else did they say again?
Be strong.
Be strong. Remember, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, Moses told Joshua, be strong, very courageous. In Joshua chapter 1, the first 5-6 verses, God is telling Joshua, be strong and very courageous. And then verse 16 and 17, you have the people as a motif. They say, be strong and very courageous. Three opportunities that Joshua received from Moses, from God, and from the people. Be strong and very courageous. And that's exactly what Joshua did. Joshua was very strong. He was very courageous. And victory after victory after victory, we find Joshua leading the people of God across the Jordan River into Ai, Jericho, and the next thing you know, victory after victory after victory, Joshua is leading the children of Israel. And so let's pick up in chapter 10, because in chapter 10, we see some things that's very interesting. Verses 1 through verse number 5, notice. Now it came to pass when Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had taken Ai, or Ai, however you want to say it, and utterly destroyed it, and as he had done to Jericho and its kings, so he had done to Ai and its king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city. like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were mighty, therefore Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent to Hoham, king of Hebron, Piram, king of... Now, this is important where we're getting these kings, okay? We have to put this in our minds, these different kings that are being brought up. Japhia, king of Lachish, and Dabir, king of Eglon, saying, come up to me and help me that we may attack Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and the children of Israel. So here you have Gibeon, who are allies now with the children of Israel, and you have these five kings, and they're going to come in. They want to attack Gibeon. All right. So Gibeon, of course, is allies with the children of Israel and with Joshua, and they're going to go to Joshua for help. Verse 5. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, and the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered together, went up, they and all their armies, and camped before Gibeon and made war against it. All right. And so here we have a situation of allies of the children of Israel. The children of Israel have this name. This name is that the God of heaven is with them. They are destroying nations left and right. They're just coming through and they're destroying things. It would be the same people that heard about what God did to the Egyptians by way of the Red Sea. And now here they come through Jericho and then Ai, and it's just a turmoil. And God's people have this great name. And so verses 6 through verse number 8. And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp at Gilgal, saying, do not forsake your servants. Come up to us quickly. Save us and help us. Now, few things. Don't forsake your servants. Come up quickly. Save us. Help us. Sounds like some people in distress. And they were. For all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the mountains have gathered together against us. So Joshua, now notice the language here, all right? And we see this idea of Joshua kind of below Gilgal, and they're traveling up Gilgal in order to go help the Gibeonites, all right? And so verse number 8, and the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you. Joshua therefore came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal. Now, think about this. Here we have this pending war. We have the Gibeonites who are in trouble. They're asking for help. Joshua says, okay, we're on our way. And they travel how long? All night. Now, they didn't get in their tanks. Most likely they're on what? They're on foot. One thing I love about God's people back in the day, they were soldiers. They were men who, they put their feet to the ground and they went and took care of business. Notice what he says. So the Lord routed them before Israel, killed them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, chased them along the road that goes to Beth Horon, and struck them down as far as Azekah and Makeda. You'll see a lot of that. And it happened as they fled before Israel and were on the descent of Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. Now, notice, the only thing that the children of Israel had to do was show up. Kind of reminds me of Ephesians chapter 6 of putting on the whole armor of God. Sometimes God's people, the only thing they need to do is show up. And you know the problem with some of God's people in the Old Testament? Some of them didn't want to show up. They were afraid. There's one thing when you are defeated by your enemy. There's another thing when you defeat yourself. It's a great point for us. They had a man of God in front of them saying, we're on our way. They just showed up and God rained hailstones on them, killing the majority of them. And notice verse 12. Then Joshua spake to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, notice this leader, stand still over Gibeon and moon in the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. Isn't it interesting that we find God listening to the voice of a man? As a matter of fact, in verse 14 it says that. But I want to make this point. Matter of fact, turn to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. Let me show you something real quick. We understand that this was miraculous, but there's a major point to be made here. 1 John 5, I believe it's verse 13 and 14. In 1 John 5, 13 and 14, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, what? What? He hears us. Joshua asked something of God that was according to his will, that he may be able to defeat his enemy. Question. Is it God's will for us to defeat sin in our lives? Better believe it is. And so here we find something miraculous taking place. We have the ecosystem according to the book of Ecclesiastes 1 verse 6. When we consider Genesis 8, 22, and you think of the seasons, hot and cold, winter and summer, we have everything stopping. Also, Joshua can have more time to whip up on his enemy. I need more time. And God gave it to him. And I see something very powerful in this, and we ought to see it, because God already told him, don't be afraid, I have delivered them into your hand. Isn't it interesting that heaven is already ours if we remain faithful? Be thou faithful, how long, Brother Royce? And I'll give you what? Sometimes the people of God, they retreat. And the victory is right in front of them. Not Joshua. Remember, for 50 long years, we find Joshua being faithful to God. Don't want to spend too much time on this point, because there's some things I really want to cover here. But we find him being very faithful to God. And it's obvious that a man can be faithful, and we ought to be faithful to God. Look at chapter 12. Because in chapter 10, go to chapter 12, I'll be there in a minute. In chapter 10, verses 16 through 43, unlike Saul, remember when he went to utterly destroy the Amalekites, did he do that? I don't remember. Oh, he didn't, right? As a matter of fact, who did he leave alive? King Agag and some of the choice animals. And then he said that the people wanted it. Unlike Saul, Joshua, he killed all of the kings, all five of them, hung him, destroyed all of the nations, and now Joshua's name is being broadened even more so. Which tells us that if God tells us that we need to rid something, we need to rid it. Utterly destroy it. Get rid of it. And that's what we find Joshua doing. We find him utterly destroying his enemies. In chapter 12, verses 7 through 24, we have all of these kings through 24, 17 through 20, verse 7 through 24, chapter 12. We have all of these kings, and all of these kings are the ones that Joshua conquered. Now, It's interesting that he conquers all these kings, and notice verse 24, how many kings in all? 31. That's a lot of work he put in. He put a lot of work in. And the only thing that Joshua had to do was remain faithful to God. Do what he said. Keep my commandments. Listen to what I have to say. And it just kind of made me think about my own personal life, and it ought to make you think about your own personal life. Am I doing what God has said? Look at chapter 11, verse 15. Let's prove this point so you don't think I'm just talking. In chapter 11, verse number 15, someone lift up their voice and read that passage.
As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua. And so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses.
Isn't that interesting? You remember Noah? When Noah constructed the ark, he did everything according to God's commandment. Remember when they built the tabernacle? They did everything according to God's commandment. And as Moses did everything that God commanded, Joshua did everything that God commanded. And so I ask this question, is it possible for me to do all things that God has commanded? Of course it is. Friends, don't let people lie to you and say, well, you know what, I don't think I can do everything that God says. That's the wrong attitude. My attitude ought to be, I'm going to do everything that God says. If I fall short, then I'll make that right. But I ought to go in there with the attitude that I'm going to do everything that God says. Joshua did, Moses did, Noah did. There's another one that did, and we'll get to him here in a second. Look at chapter 13. In chapter 13, we're just going to look at verses 1 through 5. And we see something about the land that's being conquered. Verse 1, now Joshua was old, advanced in years. Literally, he was about to die. Now, none of us know when we're going to die. But the older we get, we know we have less time on this earth than someone who is much younger. And so Joshua is well stricken in years, and the Bible says, and the Lord said to him, you are old, advanced in years, and there remains very much land yet to possess. Now, Joshua has done all of this work. He's conquered over 31 different kings, took them out, conquered land. He's crossed the Jordan. He's on the other side of the Jordan. He's still conquering. And God says, man, you're old, but there's a lot of land to possess still. I was talking to Evelyn about this, and I said, you know, this is so powerful because it teaches us that we can only do our part, and then we got to pass a baton off of someone else to keep it going. It's Raphael's responsibility to teach his sons so they can keep the church going. It's much land to possess. What happens when we don't teach our children? It's a great principle. Notice what he says, verse 2. This is the land that yet remains, all the territory of the Philistines and all of that of the Gershonites from Sihor, which is east of Egypt, as far as the border of Ekron northward, which is counted as Canaanite, the five lords of the Philistines, the Gazites, the Ashdodites, the Ashkelonites, the Gittites, and the Ekronites, also the Avites from the south. Now notice, we've seen east, we've seen north, we see south, in the land of the Canaanites, and Merah that belongs to the Sidonians as far as Aphek, to the borders of the Amorites, the land of the Gibeonites, and all of Lebanon toward the sunrise, that's the east, toward the east, the sunrise from Baal Gad below Mount Hermon as far as the entrance of Hamath. Now, we'll stop there. But if you notice, three directions are given. Which one is left out? The west. It's very interesting that we find that. Look at chapter 23. We'll make this little quick point and then we'll come back. In chapter 23, Joshua, of course, at the end of his life, he's at the end of his life. Verse number 2, and Joshua called for all Israel, for the elders, for the heads, judges, officers. We'll come back and make a point from this here right at the end of class. I am old, advanced in age. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. It's interesting that in Exodus 14 and verse 13, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Talks about his enemies, and he said that God will fight for you. New Testament says it this way. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'll take care of it. I'll repay it. God has always been in the business of taking care of his people. The question is do we want to get in front of him or behind him? For some reason, as human beings, we like putting on boxing gloves. We like to fight. Well, there's a time in which we ought to be, but God says, I want to take care of the battle for you. We just got to show up. Notice what he says. See, verse 4, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off as far as the great sea, where? There is the rest of it right there. It's amazing, the Bible is something else. But you gotta read it. You gotta read it. You gotta put some things together. Go back to chapter 14. Go back to chapter 14. And then I'll make a few little points here going back to chapter 23, because I think it's key. In chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, you can't talk about the book of Joshua without talking about Caleb. Is that right, Brother Cheek? You gotta talk about Caleb. You have to. There's no way. Remember, according to Numbers chapter 14 and verse number 24, Caleb was one who had a different spirit. He had another spirit. It was something different about this man. And I venture to say that's a compliment. It's a compliment when you're different, but in a good way, in a godly way, in a holy way. It's all right to stand out. It's all right not to look like the world. It's all right not to do things like the world. It's all right not to talk like the world. It's all right to be of a different spirit. It's okay. A lot of times we want to blend in. No, don't blend in. Stand out. Stand out. We blend in enough by just being mere humans, but we ought to stand out because of the mentality we have. And our actions ought to follow. But in Joshua chapter 14, let me turn in my little Bible here. Joshua 14, verses 12 through 14, notice what the Bible says. Now therefore, this is Joshua speaking, and remember we have the land, the inheritance being allotted out to the different tribes. And Caleb says something that's powerful. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in the day, for thou heardest in that day how that the Anakims were there and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. It's interesting. You remember when Moses sent out the 12 and 10 came back with a negative report? and two came back with a positive report. Who were those two?
Joshua
and Caleb. Just something about these guys. You know, and I remember when I was in Abilene, I preached a lesson from those 10, and who's troubling Israel, and talked about those 10 negative folk who came back saying something opposite of what God said. Now, that's a dangerous thing when a man will say something contrary to what is written. When you have a passage that literally says something and a man says something totally different, you better run from that guy. They get far away from him. As a matter of fact, I've even heard brethren say, well, you know, maybe he got a point. He ain't got no point when you say something different than what God say. There ain't no point there. As a matter of fact, you need to be stepping back because that man's dangerous. That woman's dangerous. And so here we find Joshua and Caleb coming back with a positive report. As a matter of fact, let me take that back. They came back with the report that God gave. He said, this is what's over there. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And they brought back the proof, but the 10 say, well, we're like grasshoppers before their sight. The land is not really like that. No, the land is like that, and we could take the land. As a matter of fact, let me calm down. It's amazing, man, to have people say things. But anyway, let me get on back to Caleb. That's what I was talking about. Where am I? Chapter 14. Let's go back to, look at verse 13. And Joshua blessed him. Remember earlier he said, give me this mountain. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for inheritance. Which demonstrates to us that when we're faithful to God, we'll receive the inheritance that God has promised us. Let me prove that. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, our brother Peter, apostle of Jesus Christ, inspired by the Holy Spirit, has this to say. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To what? An inheritance. Incorruptible, undefiled, does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Isn't it interesting that Caleb said, give me this mountain. Joshua said, it's yours. It's your land. You labored for it. You was faithful. Go back to Numbers chapter 14. Let me show you something real quick. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. Let me use this word without you being offended. Let's see why Caleb deserved this land. Hopefully that don't offend you. Notice, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me a little bit. How much? Fully. Brethren, I hope that don't offend you, because truth be told, if we're following God fully, he's going to give us exactly what we deserve. If a person is not following God fully, he's going to give them exactly what they deserve. And the only reason we get it is because God gave us a law and we followed it and he blessed us. The one that's humble understands that I am going to heaven because of the grace of God. But it's God's grace that teaches me to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that I should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. And so, notice the end of this verse. I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. So here Joshua said, give me this mountain. Caleb says, give me this mountain. I'm sorry. Joshua said, okay, the mountain is yours. And his descendants lived in it. A it ought to be something said for us as New Testament Christians in the Church of Christ, that if we leave the church the way God wants it to be, our children ought to have a place to live in. They ought to have a place to live in. That's why the church is so powerful. It's a beautiful entity. Chapter 24. In chapter 24, I want to make this little point that I said I wasn't going to make earlier, so I can make it right now. In chapter 24, I found it interesting that Joshua, he's old. He is about to die. As a matter of fact, where is that passage? I think it's... Yeah. 23:14. That's the passage I was looking for. He's telling them, okay, behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. So here he said, I'm about to die. I'm going to the grave. It's interesting that David said the same thing when he was talking to his son Solomon in 1 Kings 2:2. He brings him in. He says, son, I'm going the way of all the earth. I need you to be faithful to the Lord. And so in verse number 1 of chapter 24, then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel, for the heads, for the judges, for the officers, and they presented themselves before God. Why is this important right here? What is Joshua doing right here? Who did he call? Who did he call? He called the leaders. And the leaders have the responsibility to do what?
Lead.
Talk to the people. Encourage the people, command the people. And so he calls the elders, the heads, the judges, the officers, everyone who has a responsibility to influence. And so I marked in my Bible a theme that I see all through chapter 24, and it's the word serve. It's the word serve. You'll see it real quick. Verse number 14. A couple times. Verse 15, 2 times. This is King James Version. Verse 16. Verse 18. Verse 19, verse 20, verse 21, verse 22, verse 24, verse 31. Now let's look at them contextually. He gathers them together and he's delivering them his final address. Here's a man for 50 years, 50 long years, he's been faithful. No wavering. I thought about that. 50 years, no wavering. Is that difficult? Wow. I think that when I see men like Joshua and Caleb, that's a great example to look up to. And keep in mind, these men were flesh just like we are. These men were people who had issues just like we do. And so in verse 14, Matter of fact, look at verse 13 before I go to verse 14. I was talking to a friend about this earlier today. Verse 13, amazing. He says, and I've given you, God said, I've given you a land, talking about Canaan, for which you did not labor, you didn't work for it, cities which you did not build, you dwelt in them, vineyards and olive yards which you did not plant, yet you eat them. Keep in mind, and we made this point on Sunday, Evelyn, that in the book of Genesis chapter 15, God told Abram that his people were going to be in bondage for 400 years. And that it was going to be the time in which the Amorite sin would be made full. That God would go in there and he would cast them out. And it made me think that over those 400 years, Brother Royce, they were building. They were planting. They were getting this land ready for God's people. Oh, man, that's good stuff right there, boy. That's good stuff. It's amazing. God was taking care of his people. And he told them, his land, his cities, his vineyards, his olive yards, you did nothing. And I'm putting you in it. And the only thing I'm requiring you to do is be what? Be faithful. Just be faithful. And so, Joshua, on all of these occasions, verse 14, notice, now therefore, reverence the Lord, serve him. I missed that serve. So there's three of them in verse number 14. See that, Chad? I missed that. I need to pay more attention, don't I? It'll be okay. I'm learning that too. That's a hard lesson. It'll be okay. Now therefore, reverence the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. John 4:24. Worship God in spirit and in truth, sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. So don't do what your fathers did. Stay focused. Verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, Joshua said, we're serving the Lord. Now, that's interesting. Brother Felton, where are you going? You're going to go ring that bell? Isn't it beautiful that Joshua spoke for his family? We need more men that's going to speak for their families. We live in a time where men don't want to, I'm talking about men, they don't speak for their families. No, this is the way it's going to be here. We're going to serve God. Probably have less men and women in prison. Less drug addicts, less alcoholics, less idolaters. If more men would just step up and be men of God. But Joshua, if you used to say this today in some circles, well, he's a chauvinist. How dare him? He ought to let his children make a decision what they want to do. No, as for me and my house, we're serving God. Which meant that if they didn't want to serve God, they could do what? They can go. That's harsh. No, that's real. We don't have enough men doing that, even today. When men would rather stay home and the women take the children to church, that's a problem. That's a problem. And so we need men to step up. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Quit ye like men. Be strong. And so Joshua says, as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. Verse 16, and the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our father out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now notice what they're saying. They realize this is what God did for us. We're going to serve God. In verse 18, and the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord. He's our God. Not the gods of those foreign nations, but the God of heaven. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is holy. He's separate. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. That's fair. And you know what would happen right after Joshua died? They would go right into idolatry. Why are people so quick to leave the way of righteousness? Unbelief. Hebrews 3, verse 12 and 19. That's right. Verse 22, and Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourself, since you say that we're going to serve the Lord. This is a witness. God hears it. They made a promise. Verse 23, you know, at baptism, we made a promise. That's why any man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit. And so we got to stay, keep your hands on the plow. It doesn't matter how slippery your hands get. Keep your hands on the plow. Verse 23, now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart. Now, it's interesting that God was concerned about the hearts of his people, even under the old system. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. And the word serve, I failed to give you this, is not only the idea of work, but the idea of worship. And so we get the word latreo in the New Testament, Romans 12, verse 2, Matthew 4, verse 10, 1 Peter 2, verse 5. We get passages like that that bring out that word latreo, that word serve and worship. And so here, verse 25, so Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in a book of the law of God. I love how the idea of a book, which God demonstrates to us that not only am I working through utterance, but I'm working through that which is written down for posterity's sake. So the generations after that, Brother Royce, will be able to read what their fathers did. Just like what you put on Facebook or social media never leaves. This ain't going nowhere. That's interesting. But notice what he says in verse 31 before these kids start walking in. Joshua dies. He's 110 years old. And verse 31, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, and which had none known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And that's interesting that as long as that man was leading, they was faithful. And of course, you get to the book of Judges at the death of Joshua, verse number 1, chapter 1, and they're already going off. They're already going off. Friends, let's be careful. Let's listen to God. And let us not think that it can't happen to us. God bless you.